92.9 The Game.
The guy from Tennessee in here understands what it's like for the guy in Mississippi here. The guy from Florida understands that this university is the one that gave you an education. The guy from Cali understands that. The guy from Atlanta, from Georgia, from Alabama, you all get it. And because of that, you're going to play for great love for each other and for that, those people in those stands.
This is College Football Game Time. Coming up, we'll take a look at the world of college football. Now, here's Chris Goforth, John Chuckering, and Randy McMichael. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It is the first Saturday of the college football bowl season, and we'll get to all that. A lot of stuff going on today in and around college football, and plenty of talk this week about expanding this 14 playoff. Glad to have you with us on this Saturday morning. Chris Goforth alongside John Chuckery. You can find Sir John at JMCH316. You can find Randy Mack at Randy Mack 81. You can also find the station at 929 The Game and College Football Game Time. This show, you can find it at 929 CFB Game Time. A little gassy this morning, Chuckery?
No, I was almost on IR for the show. You were almost a one-man show.
Oh, that'd have been tough.
Yeah, we had a long night last night.
That'd have been tough. Good night. Yeah, you party animals.
Yeah, he's in the streets last night thinking he was thinking he's in his 30s.
No, I wasn't even in the streets. I was just, you
thinking
know.
30 again.
We were doing company party, and well, I shouldn't say company. It's the unofficial company party that we do, so.
Whatever.
A little banged up.
Kyler Murray wins.
Randy's here, by the way.
I noticed that.
I'm in the house, man. Always.
I noticed that.
Yeah, keep your watch set.
He's counting down the minutes. Yeah. He goes, 58 minutes and 8 seconds, Randy.
Well, Brian,
you can get out of here today.
Hi.
Anyways, what would you say about Kyler Murray?
Kyler Murray won the Heisman Trophy. Highest quarterback rating ever in college football for a single season since they've been keeping that stat. Guys, the more and more, and I know we talked about this some last week, and Brian Gebhardt gave us the Vegas odds last week that Kyler Murray had become the favorite. The more and more I've heard and read this week from people, it seems like that coin kind of flipped from Tua to Kyler Murray right at the end.
Well, and most importantly is the fact that so many voters, Randy, have basically said that they waited specifically until after the championship games. And, you know, I mean, hard to argue that Kyler Murray wasn't a deserving Heisman winner. I think it just surprised everybody because he won every single region except the South.
That's what threw me off was the numbers that he won it. But it definitely, and I hate that Tua lost it because of what happened in the SEC championship game, because that's the reason he lost it, because everybody was like, he was running away with it. I kept saying for the past month, I was like, I like Kyler in this Heisman thing. And most everybody's like, no, Tua's got it locked up. And just like you said, Chris, the most efficient season ever for a quarterback. This decision is killing this young man, because I think he really wants to play football. I really think he wants to continue his career as football. Mm-hmm. Been reading things, been hearing things that NFL scouts look at him as a first rounder.
Well, and there is supposedly a clause, guys, that the Oakland A's have that he would have to give back money if he does. So, but that and the 200 snaps that Tua didn't have,
right?
You know, at the end of the day, that Kyler Murray and. Explain to me again, why was Dwayne Haskins at the ceremony? I mean,
Jay, I was like, every time they had on CBS Sports, on ESPN, whenever they were doing all the prospects, both all three of them, like Dwayne Haskins was like, why am I here too?
Yeah,
he basically was sitting on that couch when they were talking to Desmond, like, why am I here? Because all he wanted to do was talk to Kyler and Tua. Yeah. So, I mean.
Yeah, because Tua got the second most votes for a runner-up Heisman ever or something like that.
Yeah, you know, one of the and it comes up about every year about this time after the Heisman Trophy gets handed out is whether or not it should be an award that gets held on to until after the bowl games.
I don't like it after the bowl games.
No, I don't either. No. I don't either. And honestly, guys, if you go back and look in the recent past, go back since maybe 2000 forward, I don't know that there's been that many times that you can really point to and say, all right, if they voted after the bowl game, this guy here would have taken it over this guy.
And
I mean, it hasn't.
It's such an arbitrary way when you start talking. When you start talking, well, I'm going to wait till the Peach Bowl is played, Randy, to decide if I'm going to vote for a guy at that point. It's such an arbitrary thing because just to put your stock into a bowl game.
Well,
is a lot.
what I would be afraid happens is that it turns into the MVP of the national championship game, or
it turns into
the college football playoff MVP.
Yeah, there's really only four programs that have a Heisman finalist at that point. Yeah,
it is college football game time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coaching carousel continues to spin just a wee bit. Temple takes Miami defensive coordinator Manny Diaz. He will be their new head coach, as we talked about last week. Kansas State picks up Chris Kleinman, the head coach at North Dakota State University, who has had a ridiculous amount of success at the FCS level. Now we get into the speculation, guys, about the situation with the coordinators. I think the coordinator hires typically pick up after National Signing Day, because a lot of times if guys are recruiting for school A, they don't want to jump ship in the middle of it and go over here to school B. So it may be a little while before we get that flurry of coordinator hires that go down.
Are you going to give us a scoop that you supposedly had? Or are you waiting? Or?
I don't know, something's going on
at Rocky Top?
I don't know that it's a scoop or anything, but I'll tell you what I found out this week. Couple things. Number one, Tennessee made a run at Jim Chaney.
Right.
And he told him no. John, as I had told you, had asked me last week about what direction they were going to go, and I told you I thought the guy who holds the title of offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State, Mike Yurchik, I think is his name, he's also the quarterback's coach, would be the guy. Well, he turned him down. So they've been told no twice. Now, rumor starts to float out this week that Tyson Helton and Jeremy Pruitt did not have the best of relationships.
Right.
And that basically now anybody that calls Helton about this job and says, hey, should I apply, or I've been approached about this, what do you think? Well, he's just pushing the, you know, he is absolutely nuking it.
So he's crapping
to everybody. Oh, every chance he gets.
But didn't we always hear this about Pruitt, that he might be a, you know,
behind the scenes,
type guy?
Yeah, difficult to deal with.
There's guys out there, I'm sure. A guy, and
it's still the OC.
It's still Tennessee. The OC, exactly. Yeah. You got a guy up in Maryland right now, lost his job. No, well, not necessarily. He's not being retained in Matt Canada. I mean, he's a guy that I keep throwing out there as far as a guy where he can run your offense. If you're a defensive minded coach, let him run your offense, and you just be the CEO of everything.
And as we've talked before about Matt Canada, he's a guy that can walk in, take a look at what you have,
right,
and devise a system around what's there. And right now, at least at Tennessee, they don't have a ton.
So does that put Briles back in the mix up there?
Well, I thought what's going on with this Florida State thing with Briles? Because that's what they were talking about. If they get him, you know, Willie's going to back off, and he's going to be the CEO of the program and all that. But, I mean, the latest rumors about Briles is the Florida State. So.
And I guess Gus is going to call plays this year.
Yeah. What'd he hire? Like, that kid's just out of high school, right? That's basically going to have the –
here, hold my cable.
He's like 20. Yeah. He's not even 30
yet. That's basically what it is. Hold the cable. Be quiet.
But he had the same role at Memphis under Mike. I mean, that's Norvell's offense at Memphis. This guy had the title of quarterback's coach. And I think the bigger impact that Kenny Dillingham can have at Auburn will be what can he do for Bo Nix, the freshman quarterback that's there. That's the question that, you know, can he get in and work with Nix and develop him and be the guy?
Yeah, Nix is a 19 guy, though, right? Isn't he?
He is a 2019. He'll be coming in.
Okay.
He'll be coming in. So, yeah, he's the guy that I think a lot of people around Auburn want to see.
And who was it? Les Miles brought in, the number one JUCO transfer quarterback in the country this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, brought the number one JUCO quarterback, Randy.
You got somebody, huh?
Yeah. He'll find some, but he's going to have to do. He's going to have to do that route.
He's going to get the route. Yeah. But you look at out there in Kansas; those are the best JUCOs, you know, one of the best JUCOs in the country. So he's going to have some players to get there.
Yeah. Speaking of the coordinator hires, offensive coordinators: Tennessee, Boston College, Florida State, Memphis, all looking for offensive coordinators. Memphis also looking for a defensive coordinator along with Georgia. So those are the two schools right now. The two defensive coordinator position.
I look at Kirby hiring inside the in the staff right now.
There is a promotion.
Yeah, I don't think he'll go out and get somebody. This Manny Diaz, I like that for Temple. Yeah. My thing is, how long is he going to be there? Because we know that Temple, just like Cincinnati and all these other schools, you know, they are just, you know, springboards to a bigger job. And I like to hire. Now, with Coach Rick, he comes out, says he's going to do this nationwide search for a defensive coordinator and hires and staff. I mean, so we'll see.
Sounds like Nick Saban's halfway house for reformed coaches gets a new tenant and DJ Durkin, who is – I mean, how many guys do you have on that staff whose job is to sit and break down film?
A whole lot.
Because that's what those – that's the role of the consultant or whatever. That's what they do, right? I mean, those guys are sitting in an office somewhere, sitting in a room somewhere, breaking down film every day.
Smoke cigars when they beat Tennessee.
That's it. I mean, but no.
Thanks, bud.
Dirk is a hell of a football coach.
Yeah.
I'm talking about X's and O's guys. He is one of the best defensive minds. You know, that's why he got the job in Maryland. But the only
– it was Harbaugh's D.C.,
yeah,
right?
Is where the he only came guy from. That can get away with doing that is Nick Saban and not get the get any backlash. I mean, it'd be backlash, but when it's backlash at Nick, it seems like it's not.
What's he care?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he proved to the world that he could take Lane Kiffin and make him into
a coach.
Something again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he resurrected Lane Kiffin.
He did.
Completely.
He did.
He brought Lane Kiffin back to prominence.
Will it be more difficult to resurrect DJ Durkin than Lane Kiffin?
Is he trying to is it a resurrection though? Like what is like DJ Durkin isn't sexy like Lane Kiffin.
That's true.
He's not the personality, the name and stuff
like Durkin
that.
Won't Durkin there's I this is just my opinion. I don't think there's any chance that he'll ever get a head coaching job again. So that's what I'm saying. He can stay on the staff and Nick can just bump him. He can be the assistant defensive back coach and then be the assistant linebacker coach. And eventually, once the new DC leaves, he'll eventually become defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those where if he does, he's the, you know, the Louisiana Raging Cajuns coach. I mean,
right.
It's kind of one of those jobs.
Speaking of which, two quick things. Tua Tagovailoa apparently questionable for the game against Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's wide receiver in Hollywood Brown, they don't know yet if he's going to be able to go.
So you're telling me Tua's not going to play in the semifinal game of the national championship?
I find that hard to believe.
They said he had surgery. They had surgery on his high ankle sprain, returned to practice. Now, we saw what Jalen Hurts looked like. Remember they were walking him out in warm-ups a couple games ago, and like he can barely walk. Like, what is he going to do if he's called up upon to play? I think that Alabama can beat Oklahoma with Jalen Hurts. They can't beat Clemson without Tua.
No.
They can't
agreed.
Beat Clemson. They won't beat agreed. Clemson without Tua.
Agreed. Bill Frelick, I'm sure you've probably heard by now, the former Atlanta Falcon, a college football Hall of Famer, and a three-time All-American at Pitt, passed away yesterday, 56 years old, after a battle with cancer.
Yeah, one of the great Falcons of all time. Probably if you put together the all-time Falcons line,
he's on it.
Oh, he has to be on it, right?
He's
him
on
McKinn,
and
yeah.
Well, was he on the same line with Mark May and him at Pitt?
Good question, because he was drafted in...
What was he drafted? 80? Was he drafted in the 80s?
No. Yeah, 85.
85, right?
85,
right.
I think, Chris. Am I right?
I think second
overall pick in 85?
Yeah. Wasn't he in the same... Well, I'd have to go back and look now, but it seems like him and, like... gosh, that was when Pitt had that ridiculous run of offensive linemen, though.
Yeah.
And I want to say he's a little younger than what Mark May is.
But I just, you know, I saw the
they might have been there at the same time, but I think there was some
they
separation.
Had the profile of the, like he is the reason they called the pancake block.
Yes.
You know what I'm
saying?
Yeah. Like he and so yeah, you know when they names a pancake block after you, that means that you was a bad mofo.
Dude has done something right.
Yeah.
But no, you're exactly right, John. He is the one of the all-time greats for the Falcons and a guy that I think here because he didn't play in the Southeast. His college career, and because he was so good with the Falcons, maybe that college career that he had maybe isn't quite as appreciated as it should have been based upon how good this guy was.
I remember him at Pitt. The only guy drafted before him in the NFL, the guy taken before him, was Bruce Smith. Did that work out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that was okay. And the third pick of that draft, Ray Childress.
Wow.
How about that? There's a name from the past.
Was it the 85 draft? Is that when it was?
Yeah. Ray Childress went third. Chris Dolman, who I think was okay for Minnesota.
Another great one. He played good here in Atlanta for a little bit.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Fifth overall pick was Dwayne Bickett.
Who's that?
He was linebacker. A linebacker.
Went to Indianapolis.
Yep. With the Colts.
That was in the middle of their run where let's take Entman and Entman. You know all those guys over those years of bad defensive draft picks. So
You know, that was at the era with the Falcons where you had Frelick and Ken both, and those two guys just
was Noter on was Noter playing center.
Van Note was there late in his it was late in his career at that point.
Did Bill play with Hinton? Was he here for Chris Hinton and those guys? Was Hinton?
I think that might have been at the end of Frelick's career or close towards the end. I believe.
I may have to look that up.
Well, I take that back. I guess Hinton came. Frelick was probably 4 or 5 years in when Hinton came. Maybe it wasn't that deep into his career when that happened. It's College Football Game Time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris, John, and Randy will get you set for some bowl games coming up later on today. There is a handful of games happening today, and then another slew of them coming up through the week. So we'll talk about all those a little bit later on. Right now, we'll get to our three best games of the regular season, and we'll do that next. It's College Football Game Time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Game.
College Football Game Time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, John Chuckery, Randy McMichael, as we take a little bit of a look back, if you will, over this college football season now that the regular season at least is complete. The three best games of the college football regular season. Randy, let's start with you.
Definitely the Georgia-Bama game, the SEC championship game. I thought it was one of the better games of the season. You know, we tricked it off again. You know, lost twice in 1 year on basically a bad call or something like that to Alabama, who eventually won the championship last year. But, I mean, overall, the game was great. I thought Jake Fromm played his best game of the season that game. And to lose the game as a Georgia fan on a fake punt, when we talked about it last week, I don't know if we said it on air, but we said it in the bullpen. If you're going to go for it on 4th and 11, let him throw the football. I mean, the way he's playing,
your offense.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Let him throw the football in that case. But I really thought that was one of the better games. Another game I got to sit down and watch was the Arizona State game. You know, Arizona's up by 19, and Arizona, I mean, they just come back. And then the best part was after the game, the trash talk, the talk at the post-game presser and all those things. And how about my man, Herm? Been rooting for Herm all year. I told you, and we got the Herm hater over here, John Chuckery, and I said, Herm's going to get this team.
He won me an upset special because I picked it with you, that Michigan State
game.
You know, interesting, Randy, I think there were a lot of people who looked at that whole situation there with him and went, is this going to work?
Yeah.
Is this really going to work? I remember you and I talking out here
in
the bullpen about it during the summer, about how weird is this? And I give the guy credit, man. He's done it.
I think they were a more talented team than some people gave them credit for.
Benjamin was a tremendous player.
Yeah.
And you got Harry. I mean, he's not playing the game. But, yeah, they play Fresno State today out in Vegas, I think it is.
Yep.
So that – and definitely the first Oklahoma-Texas game. Because I didn't realize I didn't know what to expect, and I really didn't know what Texas team was going to show up and give them credit. They went on the last second field goal, but for them that was the game where you look at, damn, Ellinger can, you know, he can do some things because you look at Ellinger, you look at him more of a, he's a runner, you know what I'm saying? But he was able to throw that ball.
Does Oklahoma's defense make all quarterbacks look good?
It does.
I mean, how many quarterbacks looked bad against Oklahoma's defense this year?
Not many.
Yeah.
It does, but it
lived up to it. Usually that noon start, 11 over there start or whatever. I think that gave Texas an advantage also. And they jumped on Oklahoma, and Oklahoma fought their way back. But it lived up to the hype of the.
Is that one of the five best rivalries in college football?
Yes.
Oklahoma,
yeah,
Texas?
I think so.
Yes.
If we say Army-Navy, Ohio State, Michigan,
Auburn-Alabama, yeah.
What's the other one? USC-Notre Dame? No, yes.
It's supposed to be.
I mean, of course not now.
Yeah.
We're talking about overall.
It's up there. It's up there. Texas-Oklahoma, pretty. I know you don't like those neutral site games. But
no, I'm not a big fan of neutral site games.
But that whole setting, because they do it during the Texas State
Fair. Yeah, I mean, everything is fried and all that stuff. Yeah.
Right. Fried butter stick.
What's your third one, Randy?
Oh, it was I had Bama-Georgia, Texas-Oklahoma one, then Arizona-Arizona.
All right.
Yeah.
I have two that didn't make the list that I'll give you. One was Penn State and Appalachian State. And I tried to limit it to games that I actually watched.
Right.
And so that was one. And I didn't, like everybody else in the country, I didn't turn over to the Big Ten Network until the fourth quarter when there was, you know, 5-6 minutes left or whatever. But that was as good as it gets as far as just college football goes. Another one that didn't make the list for me was that week one game that we hyped and talked about, and that was Notre Dame over Michigan.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of us at that time really knew what either one of those teams were or were going to be going through the season. But I think looking back on it now, that was a pretty important game. The three, though, for me, I don't see how anybody can look at the Georgia-Alabama SEC championship game and not say that's the game of the year in college football.
It's classic.
Because that was
It's the classic.
Texas A&M LSU.
Great game.
A game that A&M won 74-72.
Seven overtimes?
Yeah. And then the other one was Ohio State and Penn State.
I enjoyed that game, but I didn't know what to think. Is Penn State really that bad? Because, I mean, coming into the year, a lot of people were like, well, they're going to be better this year than they were last year.
Well, because everybody thought
McSorley. Do you know what they
lost? Yeah, but Everybody thought McSorley was, I mean, and he's a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, a lot of people thought McSorley was the best quarterback, you know, in the Big Ten or coming back in the Big Ten. I don't think a lot of people understood how good Dwayne Haskins was. I did. I wrote an article about him. But
You wrote an article on him? Where?
Yeah. 929thegame.com. If you take an hour or two of your life and search around for my profile pic, and if you can find it, then you can click on it. And who knows? Hell, they clear everything else out of mine around here. So, I mean, it may or may not be up there at this point. I don't know. We may have redone the website. They cleared my stuff out. I mean, they clear out my sounders. They clear out my intro. So, I don't know if it's up there or not. But it used to be. I know at one time I saw a screenshot of it when it was on there.
One other note on that Georgia-Bama game. Highest rated college football regular season game, non-bowl game in 7 years.
I mean, of course. I mean, it was big time. It was. And I just remember telling everybody, oh, Georgia can't beat Bama. I said, we can beat Bama. And once again, I picked them, and I said it wasn't going to be an upset. But go back to what I said last week. The X factor is they got Nick and we don't.
Were you here when I asked the question, is that the fifth biggest football game played in the U.S.?
The fifth?
The SEC championship game, you mean?
If I take the Super Bowl, I take both playoff games and the national championship game, the three college playoff games and the Super Bowl, what football game? And I would even tell you even more than AFC or NFC title games, because the SEC championship is an event.
It's an event, and now because it's competitive. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't have Bama beating down a South Carolina or Missouri somebody like that. It's been really competitive. You know, even the Auburn game last year wasn't too competitive, but the storyline behind it, how they just mud drug us down.
Think about some of the matchups you've had. I mean, the Tebow Alabama matchups, I mean, are as good as you could get in college football in those couple of years when it was one versus two.
Right.
You know, that wasn't like two pretty good teams. That's the two best teams in the country lining up against one another.
And to your point, John, and we'll get into this a little bit later on when we talk about expanding the college football playoff, but that's kind of a big reason why the SEC doesn't want to see it expand is because they don't want to get rid of that game because it's such a moneymaker.
You think the SEC is even going to
consider this? I haven't.
Part of why we're in this position is because the SEC had the foresight to decide to put a game like this together. I mean, no.
The Big Ten is butthurt right now. You got Alvarez.
There's a better chance I'd get promoted here than the SEC.
No, that's not happening. Sorry.
What about your three?
Certainly UGA, Alabama. Let me give you a couple of games you guys didn't mention because I had like 12 games I think I wrote down here. Because I had UGA, Alabama, had Ohio State, Penn State. Early game of the year. That Clemson, Texas A&M game was tremendous. That environment, when they had it rocking, that crowd in College Station when they were in that game, guys, because I sat and watched that whole thing. Man, that was for me, part of what's great about college football is that environment to go along with it.
Oh, yeah.
So despite, you know, just the game on the field itself, when you get the crowd and the atmosphere going too, it's just like in wrestling. When you get that what we call a pop.
Right.
I mean, that crowd was so into that game.
That's why I don't like neutral site games because of everything you just said.
Right.
I like that vibe, that true road game vibe, especially the night game the way it was. Mm-hmm. I mean – did we see Mon ever playing that good before? I was like, good Lord.
Yeah.
Is it the Jimbo effect?
It's funny because that night, Randy, I was like, damn, Jimbo's going to do something with this program, man. I mean, Kellen Mond, they weren't even sure if he'd be the starter going into the year.
I remember we talked about it in the preseason, like who's going to be his quarterback.
Uh-huh. And just you could feel that Jimbo effect, and he's got that vibe there. That was one.
You guys mentioned Texas-Oklahoma, but I'll tell you what, that was Virginia-Texas game.
It was a very good game.
Yeah. I mean, for Holgorsen to go for it, you know, and win, and our guy Tom Herman crying because Will Grier celebrated too early or too long on the two-point conversion and all that. But that was a hell of a game back and forth. Because let me tell you, you know, West Virginia was still fighting for their playoff life.
That's true.
They were still in the mix. They were still in the mix out there. And Holgorsen, I mean, that whole scene where he tells Will Grier, hey, man, we're going, you ready to go for it? I mean, that's again, one of those things that you love about college football when you see guys be aggressive and kind of let that all hang out. So that was a couple of extra ones that I had. But, yeah, certainly Oklahoma and West Virginia.
Oklahoma Army.
Yeah, that's good.
Remember, they did not know what to do with Army. And Army had their number in Oklahoma. I mean, how bad a loss would that be?
Oh. I tell you what, though. You think about Army, if they win that game, they'd have been 11-1.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, that would have been a tough one for Oklahoma to overcome.
Do you think those programs, do you think Army or Navy, because Navy was pretty close a few years ago to getting, like, a big bowl spot. You think that, because Army wasn't even ranked. Army didn't get ranked in the college football. They were ranked in the AP and the coaches poll. They weren't even ranked, Chris, at 10-2. They weren't even ranked in the college football playoff poll. And I was like, hey, you know, Army just about beat Oklahoma. They're a pretty good team. Man, one of their two losses is Oklahoma, for God's sakes. You think, could one of those academy teams be good enough to get like a Big Six bowl game spot, playing like a Peach Bowl or something like that?
They got to be completely undefeated.
Yeah, they
got to
be undefeated.
I can't see it. I can't see it. Not anymore. You know, their glory days of the Doc Blanchards and guys like that.
This is the most wins that they've had since their three straight national title teams in the 40s. I mean, during World War II, 44, 45, 46. This is the most wins that Army has had since that three national title run. And hell, back then they only played, what, 10 or 11 games. Yeah, I was gonna say, they only played maybe 10 games if you're lucky. So, but that, and there's so many Central Floridas, Boise's, Fresno's. Yeah. You know, there's always one of those kinds of programs that just seems to get love. But Navy was a hell of a squad. I mean, Navy.
Keenan Reynolds was the real deal.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That dude was the real deal a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. By the way, the most watched regular season games this year, we talked about the Alabama-Georgia game in the SEC championship being the most or the highest rated game. Non-bowl game in the last 7 years in college football. Most watched regular season games. This is not counting the championship games, okay? Ohio State, Michigan, that was one. Alabama, LSU was two. Ohio State, Penn State was three. Alabama, Auburn was four. Notre Dame, Southern Cal was five. So to answer the question about the rivalry,
right.
I mean, I think, like it or not, that game is one that still resonates nationally with people. John Chuckery has his hand raised.
More overhyped game that was bad, Ohio State, Michigan, or LSU, Alabama?
LSU, Alabama.
That LSU, Alabama game wasn't even worth watching.
Yeah. It's like, ugh. Ugh.
But that's the two. Would that be fair to say that's the two most hyped up games that turned out to be not good games at all?
I mean, well, you're talking about a 62-39 win and a 29-0 win.
And I can tell you that Michigan score is not even as close as
right. It's not as indicative of how that game
went. If Ohio
State
actually scored the points that they left on the field, that game would have been really ugly.
So every week here on College Football Game Time, we give you our max of the week. Normally we do it for games that were played last week. Today, we're going to gaze into some crystal balls and give you our max of the week for this week's bowl games. Crystal ball? Got a crystal ball?
Because you had multiple ones. I didn't know. I mean, it's a little early on a Saturday for that, Chris. Kids are at soccer practice.
I walk very slowly, John. I walk very slowly. We'll come back. It's College Football Game Time, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
John Chuckery and Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9.
Yes, I cry. Yes, I cry. Ha, ha.
College Football Game Time, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Chris, John, and Randy, first day of the college football bowl season. We'll take a look at what's coming up on tap at around, about an hour from now. That'll just be you and I, John. It'll just me and you for that.
Just me and you hanging out.
Yeah.
And Brian will be here.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Hell, he'll leave at, you know, at some point. I mean,
yeah, he got this new equipment, yeah. So I'm sure it runs it runs itself.
I'm sure Georgia baseball's got a game he's got to go cover, so.
We'll also get into the 8-team college football playoff, or the possibility of an expanded playoff, coming up at the top of the hour. Right now it's time for our Max of the Week. This week we'll do something a little different. Instead of giving you our Max of the Week from last week, since there was essentially just the one game that was played last week, we thought we would tell you who will be the Max of the Week from this week's college football bowl games. Randy, since the Mac of the Weeks is named in your honor, how about you lead it off?
The first guy I'm having the pleasure to call this game this afternoon, the Celebration Bowl, Daryl Johnson. He's a defensive end for North Carolina A&T. I got a chance to watch a couple games on him. He's a Sunday player. He's about 6'5", about 245, plays that defensive end position. 18 tackles for loss. I mean, 10 sacks. I mean,
this guy will when you start talking about reasons to watch or listen to that game today,
there you go. Good defensive end, man. I mean, he gets it done. And he has a good overall defense is one of the best. Second one, Mason Fine, quarterback from North Texas. He's a good player. I'm more interested to look at it because of the coaching situation. You know, I think Kansas State offered their coach a head coaching job. He turns it down. And I'm saying to myself, what is it about Kansas State that you don't want to go there? Because wouldn't you think Kansas State is an upgrade over North Texas? But hey,
North Texas pretty good program right now.
But I'm saying, you look at job wise, when you think Kansas State is a little bit higher than North Texas, but they're playing Utah State today in the New Mexico Bowl.
Wait, give me your name again for that.
Mason Fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Did I steal one of yours?
No.
But yeah, he's had a great year. Over 37.
We'll talk about that game again in just a few minutes.
Upset special.
No.
Okay. He over 3,700 yards, 27-5, 9-2 record. Pretty good guy. And then Trey Ragus, the running back. I wrote this down because I'm trying to figure out who he is too. But he's in the Camping World Bowl today. I think that you look at his numbers: over 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns. These are what the bowls that you sleep through and wake up in the third quarter and be like, oh, game's still on. So those are my Max of the Week. Because this slate, you sit there. It's too long. I guess it'll take me another nap.
This is one of those days where you just turn it on and you just leave it on while you do stuff around the house.
Exactly.
Exactly. You come in, you watch a few minutes, you go, you do something else. There's only one Power 5 team that's playing today, and that's Arizona State.
Yeah.
And, Randy, that's the reason why my first Mac of the Week is your guy, Herm Edwards.
My guy.
Playing in the Las Vegas Bowl today. And again, a lot of people wondered if this would work for them. Herm gets them to 7-5 and gets them in a bowl game. Herm Edwards.
John Checkery. You're one of those doubters. Don't give me he was one of my upset picks.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He did good for me 1 week.
Number two guy, Randy, to kind of piggyback off what you said, North Carolina A&T defensive end Daryl Johnson. He is the MEAC Defensive Player of the Year, 10.5 sacks, 18 tackles for loss. North Carolina A&T trying to win their second straight HBCU national title, and this is a guy that he will be cashing checks.
Oh yeah,
this time next year.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's a day two guy. Like he's a second. I mean, he has that kind of potential, and he has the NFL body. And I mean, come to think, it was his only offer. You know what I'm saying? Coming out of high school, he's from Kingland, Georgia. So he's a Georgia kid, but yeah, he's an amazing player.
And lastly, look, I've gone head coach, I've gone defensive player. Now I got to give one to the whole team, and that's the UAB Blazers, who play Northern Illinois on Tuesday. UAB came back from the dead after seeing that program shut down in 2014. They've won 10 games. If they win on Tuesday, the UAB Blazers will be an 11-win football team. They have also never won a bowl game before. So –
that's great.
UAB.
That's so great for them kids. Because you remember the pressers that they would have when, 2 years ago when they took the program and the sadness. I'm like, why can't they have a program? Because this is the place where, like how Georgia State is here in the state of Georgia. You know, those 2-3-star guys that, don't want to leave, can't go to Alabama, can't go to Auburn. But, I mean, that program, it's come a long way, a long way.
The politics of what goes on at UAB is fascinating.
Well, yeah, I mean,
because
they're run by
the University of Alabama Board of Trustees is who runs
Paul Bryant's
UAB.
The one that shut it down.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Paul Bryant that
Well, to be fair,
the
they shut down football and archery.
Yes. You can't leave out the archery
yeah.
now.
Yeah, they canceled both football and archery.
Now, tell me this. Did Nick have something to do with that?
You know, there was a lot of people that said that they were worried because they were starting to build a program to where, you know, they were legitimately probably the third best team in that state. I mean, even over Troy.
Jacksonville State.
Jacksonville State.
FCS level. Yeah. South Alabama, they play football
yeah.
in South Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's they're in the Sun Belt too.
They
right?
are.
Yeah.
yeah.
So there were people that were talking about that they had kind of elevated their program, and then you get into politics. I mean, when you read the politics of what goes on at UAB, it's crazy that they're run by the Board of Trustees for Alabama and just yeah, a lot of backdoor politics as to what happened. Because they were not like a
They weren't a powerhouse.
No, but my point, it's not like they were losing so much money that they were just a financial burden or something like that, Chris. I mean, they were actually okay financially, but there were some people that just said that, they're starting to get a little too good for them.
What all these programs find out, what East Tennessee State found it out at the FCS level, is it is really hard to survive without college football. Period.
Right.
That is your front porch
yep.
of your not only of your athletic department. A lot of times, it's the front porch of your university. That's
yep.
what people know.
Right.
Is your football program?
Yeah. Yep. So my three Macs of the week coming up, because I was going to piggyback off North Texas. This EJ Ajaya, he's not a huge kid, but man, he's got 9 sacks and he's got 23.5 tackles for loss. Randy, he's a linebacker. Their defense is really good at North Texas.
That's why I said. That's why I was curious. I'm like. Is there a reason that you, as a head coach, you're getting an opportunity to go from North Texas to Kansas State?
Maybe he gets a bigger job. Maybe
Latrell.
You think Latrell's a guy that can get like an SEC job? Say Ole Miss comes open. Is he like that kind of? Is he like that status?
I don't want to put him up there to that level yet, but I think he is one of those guys. I think Seth Luttrell is. The way we talked a couple of years ago about Matt Rhule mm-hmm. at Baylor
right.
or at Temple at that time, and right. we said, look, keep an eye on this guy. We talked about P.J. Fleck the same way. Keep an eye on that guy. I think Luttrell is now the new up-and-coming coach right. in college football that you say, keep an eye on that guy.
And how about our guy up in Syracuse getting 6-year extension?
Yeah. Good for him.
I mean,
man.
Good
well,
for
that's
him,
good.
Man. That's
I mean,
big
yeah.
time.
Yeah, and that's what you got. If you're Syracuse and you want to stay – back in the football business, when you find your guy like that. Now, what do we say about those contracts, though?
Oh, what's the buyout?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Tell me what the buyout is, and then, you know, when he gets a big offer. A guy that we've talked about a little bit, Chris, here very briefly on the show, but Fresno State quarterback Marcus McMarion, who's had a monster season for Fresno State, who's a ranked team, by the way, ranked 21st in this. I actually think they're going to beat Arizona State, believe it or not, Randy. I've got them upsetting. I don't even know if it's an upset because Fresno State is ranked. But McMarion has been tremendous at quarterback. 70% completion percentage this year. 25 to 3. Yep, INT. 162 rating. He's been one of the more unsung guys. 3,500 yards throwing this year. So he is one of my other Macs. And, of course, my third Mac of the week has to go to the namesake, Randy McMichael. Calling the first of his two bowl games.
Oh,
our thanks.
Well,
he's
to trying
Brian
to get back
Estridge.
In your good graces.
I know.
Well, it's because
I took him off my Christmas list.
It's because we got a bunch of shows coming up in the next few months, and I don't need him completely salty at me. So I got to see him every weekend. So,
what's going on with your Akron Zips, man? I mean, does anybody want it?
Well, they got their coach, right, Chris? I mean, mm-hmm. Chris's guy is.
Chris, I mean, I know. I saw. That's why I was. Mm-hmm. I was going to look over there, Chris. They're taking your guy, right?
Chris was happy about that.
Oh, yeah.
They took him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So that should always be – that should be a fun topic for next season.
Well, if you think about, you know, I think what they're doing is just setting the table, give Urban a year or two to, to get his feet underneath him, and then bring Urban in, you know, bring Urban in. And, you know, obviously he knows how to recruit that area, you know, so –
How great would that be? You know, I just wanted to just go low key and go to Akron. There's no way.
Because they don't play at the Rubber Bowl anymore. So they don't even have the Rubber Bowl.
There's no way that's going to happen.
Mm-mm. I can dream, can't I? I can dream about Wendy Corona, and I can dream about Urban Meyer, right?
That's it.
I can have dreams, can't I?
There's no way that ever happened.
Hey, the one
is that another
game,
one of those better chance I get promoted?
One team that we haven't mentioned today, that is Georgia Southern, mm-hmm. Who's playing in the Camellia Bowl today. Amazing stat from them, Randy. All year, 5 turnovers. They have committed 5. The NCAA record for turnovers in a season is 8. They have committed 5 all year.
They should be the instant mission, right?
That is ridiculous.
I would think.
You think they should be the instant mission.
Yeah, I would think. You play keep away and just don't even let them get the football.
Wow, 5 turnovers. That's
pretty
something.
Amazing.
That's
stat.
Pretty amazing stat right there.
Yeah.
Especially when you think about the type of offense and everything that they
run. Yeah. And, you know, last year they started 0-6, made the coaching change. They ended up going 2-10
something
or whatever it was.
Yeah, they were
terrible. And then this year, Chad Lunsford, and they have completely turned the corner, and it's a totally different look from them.
Well, they're too good of a program traditionally to be down for very long.
I mean, yeah.
As long as you don't bring Brian Main Porter, it'll be fine.
Randy? Merry Christmas. I won't see you again until the 29th.
Yeah,
so,
man. Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Chris, and that guy.
I love you.
I love you, though, brother.
Have a great call, Randy. Randy will be on the call today on Sirius XM for the Celebration Bowl between North Carolina A&T.
Is Fricky coming in or
Alcorn State?
No. You? No.
No.
Just us.
Just us?
Just
me and you.
No?
Just me and you. Is an 8-team playoff coming sooner, or is it coming later? John Chuckery and I will dive into that next. It's College Football Game Time, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.